Aloha. Greetings from Hawaii. I'm here to talk about cancer patient navigation. Is everyone familiar with cancer patient navigation? It's similar to case management or what community health workers are doing now to try to guide patients through to care, through prevention, screening, and care. I have nothing to disclose, relationships to disclose. So cancer patient navigators are individuals who are trained to help identify and resolve barriers to cancer screening and cancer care to enable patients to get the screening and cancer care that they need and to improve cancer outcomes. And as you know, there are tremendous disparities in outcomes among cancer patients across the country. And I come from a group that works with Native Hawaiians, the Native people of Hawaii, who have very dismal outcomes in cancer in Hawaii. We use a lay navigator model. Many cancer navigators are nurses, social workers, but we use a lay model similar to what we heard in Chicago, in that you need people from the community to help navigate people from the community. We have a training, a 48-hour training, that was developed in 2006 for lay people to know, to get some cancer knowledge, some awareness of cancer services and providers and how to communicate. But we also give them a book of questions. We know they're not going to know everything, so questions that you can help the patient ask to get the data that you need, the answers that you need. Cancer knowledge changes all the time. So far, this is a map of Hawaii. We have trained lots of navigators. I don't see a big number there, but if you can add quickly, I think it's more than 100. And 14, we're very happy to report, have actually been hired. 14 positions have been created called navigator positions in hospitals and healthcare centers since we started doing our training. And 5 more medical centers will be establishing programs soon. What was that? Oh, okay. So navigators can help across the cancer care continuum, and this is the continuum. There's cancer education and outreach for all of us in this room who at some point will need cancer screening for some part of our body, and then there's a portion of us who will go ahead to diagnosis, and then we need treatment. Then hopefully we're survivors, and if not, there's end-of-life care. So it's a very complicated continuum. Most screening is negative, but you still need the screening. It's a very cost-effective public health preventive service. Some people who get cancer and will die within 5 years, but really most of them live long now. There's many, many survivors. I'm a 20-year survivor myself. So then you loop back to cancer screening. So it's a never-ending cycle. You can always use you always need to be somewhere in this continuum. So the purpose today is to tell you findings from evaluations of cancer navigation programs at 2 health centers in Hawaii. And one is from the very rural island of Molokai, Molokai General Hospital's program, and another one is in the urban area of Honolulu at the Queen's Medical Center. So I'll tell you how we tried to help them evaluate their programs. So the first program focused on screening. It was at Molokai General Hospital. The funder was the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and their purpose was to test cancer patient navigation in Medicare patients. Most of you haven't been to Molokai. It's a teeny weeny island in the chain, only 8,000 residents, mostly farmers and fishermen, 1 medical center, there it is, and that's downtown with cars. That's the airport. You just walk out to the plane. So you can tell it's a very rural area. And we were able to find almost 500 Medicare-eligible individuals who were randomized into either getting the navigation or not getting the navigation for screening. We had made a deal with CMS that we would navigate anyone that had cancer. So we didn't navigate anyone that had cancer. But for screening, we agreed to do this randomization. So the navigator group got outreach, education, and assistance with scheduling, transportation, and other services. And this graph just is to show you that the two groups, once randomized, were in fact very similar. So outreach and education, some of the things that were used in the Filipino population, what the Filipino navigator found out was that there was really no word for cancer in the language. So she had to develop analogies to make educational materials educational messages more understandable. This was also true for Hawaiians, but I'm just giving you the example for the Filipinos. She says it's like when you plant an eggplant and then the weeds grow. So the plant is the good cells, the weeds are the cancer is the weeds, and you need to get rid of the weeds. When you go to screening, the doctor is looking for the cancer when it's small. Just like farming, you want to get rid of the small weeds so don't grow into big weeds. So to try to come up with educational analogies that were able to draw people into screening that had never been screened before. So they helped make it more accessible. They helped make the appointments. They arranged transportation. They sent reminders. They accompanied the elder to screening. And of course, the majority do not have cancer. And that was a big message when they went back home and said, hey, I went to screening. It didn't hurt. I didn't have cancer. It's, you know, just go. So that was very helpful. We had great outcomes. So in addition to capturing some of the data, qualitative data about how they managed to deliver these services in a culturally appropriate way, we also captured their outcomes. And we were very pleased to see that the navigated group, which is the blue line, at the end of the study had a greater percentage of having had the screening than the control group, which is the red line. So almost half of them had an FOBT, almost 80% had a flexible SIG or colonoscopy, and so forth. You can see across there. So that was pretty easy. And then we also measured satisfaction. And you can see here that the blue is agree and the red is somewhat agree. So if you take those together, they're approaching 100% a thought that the materials were helpful, that the support met their needs, they would recommend this service, they valued the navigator, and it was an excellent experience. So we are happy to say that because of these evaluation results, the hospital has decided after the grant to continue these navigators and actually expand their services to other fields like diabetes. Not yet violence, but that might be a good one too. Evaluating treatment navigation has been much harder for us. We were called in, there wasn't a logic model, by the way, and we were called in sort of after the program had been established and tried to work with the data that we had access to that had already been established for collection. This is at the Queens Medical Center, internally funded, and their mission was to navigate cancer patients that were outpatients. If you're an inpatient, you have a social worker meet with you. But if you're an outpatient, you can easily fall through the cracks. So this was a service for outpatients. And more cancer patients are outpatient these days. Honolulu is very urban, maybe small compared to some of the places you're from, million people on the island. And Queens is a referral center for many other medical centers, including medical centers in the Pacific. Some hospitals on the different islands don't have chemo or radiation, so we get those patients as well. And the barriers that these cancer patients face are very complex. The cancer system is complex. There's too many doctors and so forth, lots of doctors and services. There's a lot of fear and anxiety and, of course, insurance and, of course, travel because they're coming from all over. So the role of the navigators at Queens is similar to those on Molokai, to provide education and reassurance and to help them apply for financial help and so forth, coordinate appointments, link them to other hospital resources, and link them to community resources. So our evaluation here ended up having to be a descriptive case study. There was no way we could randomize or ask them to. Every patient was eligible for this service. So of the 800 that were navigated between a certain time point, we randomly selected 120, and they represented a variety of kinds of cancer, breast, lung, esophageal, et cetera. They also were a mean age of 60 on the elderly side, about half men, half women, and about 20% came from neighbor islands. So the kinds of data that we could get were quite limited. So we were able to get actions taken, number of actions taken by a navigator, and kind of the categories of actions. So you can see that a lot of them got one action, two actions, three actions, four actions, seven actions. And then after that, it went down. And actually, someone got 83 actions. But this was kind of the graph of how many actions. Mean number was almost 10, but the median was 4. And in these areas, education, reassurance, finances, appointments, linking to hospital services, linking to community services, and transportation. And then we looked at the number of case days per patient. How long did they need navigation services? So in the screening navigation, it's kind of finite. You know, you find the person, you get them to screening, and then you don't have to call them again for a year or two or three, depending on the screening test. But here, you could keep the patient forever. The treatment could last 6 months. So this is kind of the distribution of number of case days for navigation, of ranging from 1 day to 216 days, with a mean of 25 and a median of 14. That's how it graphs out. So we tried to further explore the different kinds of cases. We divided them into three groups, the low intensity, the mid intensity, and the high intensity, to try to get a handle on who the patients are, thinking that maybe Queens could streamline their services if they could triage to the high intensity. And so we defined a low intensity person as someone that only took one or two actions over 1 or 2 days. And then we tried to describe that group. And then the mid and the high. So the mid was 6 actions over 15 days, and the high was 21 actions over 86 days. So kind of chunking them like that. And what we found out was that the low-intensity patients tended to be in diagnosis, and maybe they just needed to get the diagnosis, and then they were fine, or the diagnosis was negative. You know, the suspicious finding didn't turn out to be, or there was no suspicious finding, so there was no nothing that needed to be followed up on. Or they had good support and a relatively simple diagnosis, and they appreciated the information, didn't want assistance. So those were the low intensity that we think that perhaps maybe the navigators could stop seeing in the future. The mid-intensity patients tended to be those that were deciding on treatment plans. They had a lot of questions, and they needed a lot of help to learn the pros and cons of, for example, chemo, to make informed decisions. So they were they had more tests to do. They were in a very much of a more deciding stage. And then once they got on a treatment plan, they tended to be okay. Then the high-intensity patients tended to be, I say suspicious finding, but a suspicious finding that went on to a cancer diagnosis with multiple kinds of treatment like chemo, radiation, and surgery, and maybe they also had no insurance and also limited personal and family resources and needed help with a lot of things. So those ended up being the three types of patients that we saw when we tried to group them. And what we found is that there were no difference in groups. We were trying to come up with triage measures in demographics or cancer stage or urban-rural. Wouldn't it be great if we found out that all of the neighbor island ones were high intensity, but it didn't turn out that way. But basically, they had difference in expressed needs and barriers. So they'd all checked off barriers. And of course, logically, the ones with more barriers needed more services. So the lessons that we've learned in our experience evaluating navigation programs is that screening navigation is relatively easy to evaluate and it's effective. Hiring a navigator to get someone to screening really works. Treatment navigations, while we think that they're fabulous and our satisfaction results have been very positive for navigation, it's more difficult to evaluate. It's more difficult to show that it's cost-effective for the hospital or that we're really helping the patient. And the reasons we ran into is because, at least at Queens, they're referred from many sources, and there's no triage mechanism at this point. The referral window is large. You can get any cancer at any stage, at any time. The referrals are coming from all over Honolulu, neighbor islands, and other hospitals, and also the greater Pacific. We had no control group, and I think this is the worst one, is there was no linked data collection system for the navigated patients. And part of the problem is because we were using a lay navigator model, they weren't allowed to chart along with the doctors and nurses and other professionals, so they had to have a separate charting system that then didn't link to the main hospital system. So that became a big issue for us. And compared to other research in the literature that's trying to evaluate navigation, they're kind of finding the same thing. Those that have evaluated the efficacy of treatment navigations tend to focus on one type of cancer. So if you just offer it for breast cancer patients at stage one, or if you just offer it for colorectal cancer patients with a suspicious diagnosis, then you're more able to evaluate it because people come in with the same diagnosis and at the same point in the continuum. Still, it turns out that cancer treatment navigation programs are expanding. They are now required under the Commission of Cancer for hospitals that want the Commission on Cancer certification. They are required by the Association of Community Health Centers and by NCI's Community Cancer Center programs. So still, in the absence of strong evaluation data, they are becoming required. And so those of you who are thinking of developing a program like this, these are some kinds of questions to ask in developing a program. So where are the disparities and barriers? So who really needs navigation? Will you focus on specific patients, and can you triage? I think those are very big questions for a hospital or a community health center to think about. And how will the program be structured? Will it be under nursing? Will you be able to link it to medical records? Who will be the champions? And what data should be collected? And can you link both to the inpatient and outpatient records? These are very important questions when trying to develop a program like this. So just before I came here, I was going through the literature again, and there is a 2013 article out that talks just about metrics for cancer patient navigation. And I circled some of the things that I thought may be of interest and some things that can inform our work with the Queen's Medical Center. Of course, we're already looking at the top circle. We're already looking at patient barriers and gaps in service. But here's something: increased volume and revenue. So can we figure out if the patients are using Queen's more because of the navigation? In the green box, reduced time from abnormal screening to diagnosis. That's going to take a link to the medical record. Earlier stage of diagnosis will take a link. Reduced time between diagnosis and treatment will take a link. But reduced out-migration, so the patients, because they love the navigators, are going to stay at Queen's. And then the last red box, in-system referrals and resulting revenue. So because they're staying in Queens, do they go to another service in Queens? Because they like Queens, they like the navigator. So not only are they going to have their cancer care there, but they're going to have their dad come there, or they're going to have their mom come there, or they're going to give birth there, or something like that. So that's another thing that we could possibly measure. And payments that otherwise might not have been made, are the navigators able to help patients get insurance, and therefore they're paying for care rather than being a charity care? So those are some of the new things that we hope to look at. And thank you very much. Mahalo means thank you in Hawaiian.
Hey, I'd like to open up for one or two questions.
Well, we're still waiting for permission from CMS actually to publish the data. And the study's been over for several years. So I'm not quite sure what's up with that. I think they were looking at it as a possible reimbursable model. And yet, if the data can't be released, then there's no evidence to suggest that it should be. But yes.
The
grant paid for the services,
right.
But no, it's not reimbursable. Yeah.
Are there any other questions for any of our panelists? If not, I would like to thank our presenters for their wonderful presentations. I myself personally learned a lot just sitting here that I can apply in my studies and work. And I'd like to thank all of you for attending today, and again remind you to visit our section website on apha.org. And also we'll be having our section social tonight here in the Convention Center, room 153B, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. So again, thank you and have a wonderful afternoon.